The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McInnes. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program today Robert Goldsboro. He joins us on the telephone in Illinois. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
There was a writer, a best-selling writer, who put out a lot of books, and he had a character named Nero Wolfe. Now, I'm thinking that we have some listeners out there who are not familiar with this character or the author or any of this, and I hear that you're a little more familiar than most people. Can you please explain to us why this is the case?
Yes, I can. I started reading the Nero Wolfe mysteries by a man named Rex Stout when I was a teenager. My mother had suggested these stories to me because she thought I'd be interested in them because they were whodunits, and for a teenager they did not have a lot of swearing, they didn't have a lot of overt violence, and they didn't have much sex in them. So she thought they'll be okay for my son. Well, over the years I read these and I really absorbed the characters that Mr. Stout wrote about. And later on, after he died, I tried my hand at writing one, and of all things, it finally got published. So I have become what they call a continuator, I guess. I have tried to be faithful to the characters that Mr. Stout created, and I think by and large, maybe I have been faithful.
Well, you've been a continuator for almost 40 years. Isn't that longer than Stout actually worked on the series?
It is about the same time. Yeah, he wrote more books than I ever have. But for one reason, he was extremely prolific, and he could do a full-length Nero Wolfe novel in about 1 year. Actually, 11 months, I think, was his routine, and it takes me longer than that. So even though I've been doing it for about as long as Mr. Stout, I haven't produced nearly as many books.
And I assume that his estate smiles upon this endeavor?
They smile upon it, particularly because they get to share in the royalties. And that was a deal that was hammered out way back in the 1980s. I hired a publishing lawyer in New York who showed me the ropes and said, these characters are owned by Mr. Stout's estate, and they are entitled to them, so you're going to have to work out a deal, and he helped me work it out. So they get a share of my royalties. They continue to this day to do that.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Book Nook on 91.3 WYSO, community-owned public radio for curious listeners. I've been joined by Robert Goldsboro, and he has just published the most recent in his continuation of the Nero Wolfe mystery series. The book is called The White Mountain, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, tell us who Nero Wolfe is. Describe him and tell us about his buddy.
Okay, Nero Wolfe is a genius, a very large genius. He is said to weigh a seventh of a ton, which is somewhere around 280 pounds. Nero Wolfe lives in a brownstone in Manhattan on West 35th Street. This brownstone consists of three floors plus a rooftop nursery in which he raises 10,000 orchids. Nero Wolf also has a live-in gourmet chef named Fritz Brenner, who cooks wonderful meals that are probably at least a part of the reason Nero Wolf weighs a seventh of a ton. He has his idea is to stay home as much as possible. He is heavily sedentary, but at working as a private detective, he needs legs and a man of action, and that man of action is a detective named Archie Goodwin, who serves as his eyes and ears in the city. And when they're working on a case together, a murder case, in most instances, it's Archie Goodwin who goes out and rounds up people and does the legwork and the tough guy detective work, whereas Wolf prefers to just stay home and solve the cases. He is the mental man, and Archie Goodwin is the man of action.
Therefore, this current book, the new one, The White Mountain, is a literal departure for Mr. Wolf because he actually leaves the brownstone.
Yes, he does, and leaves the country, too. It is not totally out of the realm of possibility, because Rex Stout, the original writer of the Nero Wolf books, once sent Nero Wolf and Archie Goodwin off to Montenegro, where Nero Wolf's original roots were, and to hunt down a killer. And that book was called The Black Mountain because Montenegro means the Black Mountain. So this is my book is, I believe, only the second time that Nero Wolf and Archie Goodwin left the continental United States.
And clearly all these books for you are homages to the originals. How do you stay true to Mr. Wolf's character and everything like that?
Well, that's a challenge, and it's a double-edged sword in a way. I absorbed all of Rex Stout's books and felt very comfortable with the characters. There are close to 20 recurring characters in these books that Mr. Stout created, some of them appearing far more often than others, of course, but around 20 in this so-called ensemble company. And I have worked very hard to make the characters behave the same way I would have hoped, you know, that Mr. Stout would have approved of. Again, as I said, this is a double-edged sword, because the great thing about continuing a proper series is that you've got a great many followers, fans. In fact, the Nero Wolf enthusiasts are almost as passionate as the Sherlock Holmes enthusiasts. They have their own club, the Wolf Pack. They meet once a year in New York. They put out brochures and periodicals about the stories. So that I inherited a built-in audience. Now, that's the good news and, to a little degree, the bad news.
Uh-huh.
The good news is that most of the people who I have heard from have received my books very, very positively. Now, the negative news is these people are really detail-oriented, and if I slip up a little bit on some detail, I hear about it, and I quite often hear about it very quickly after a book has come out. Once or twice I've gotten the floor plan of the brownstone wrong, or and maybe put a room on the wrong side of a hall, and I hear about this. Another time, I had Archie Goodwin in the kitchen as he having breakfast. I had Fritz Brenner give him a pile of wheat cakes hot off the griddle. And a reader in Kansas City said, "No, Mr. Goldsboro, no, no. In Mr. Stout's books, Archie only eats one hot cake at a time. That way, each one that he gets from Fritz is hot off the griddle." He proved it to me by finding one of Mr. Stout's books and told me, and I have almost all of Rick Stout's books. He said, "You'll see on page 37 that Archie only eats these wheat cakes one at a time." So I never made that mistake again. That's the kind of detail that the fans of these books are into, and woe be it to me if I slip up.
Well, you got to love that passion that they have for it.
I do love it.
You got to love it. And I feel the same way on the rare occasions when I mispronounce a word and I'm contacted by a listener and they say, no, the word is pronounced like this. My guest is Robert Goldsboro. His new Nero Wolfe mystery is The White Mountain. And tell us how these are told from this particular point of view. Now, are all of them from his point of view?
They are all narrated from Archie Goodwin's point of view, every one of them.
Okay.
And sometimes that gets a little tricky because Archie, when Rex Stout had them go to Montenegro, Archie had to rely upon Nero Wolfe to translate what was being said in the Serbian language. And I've had to do a little bit of that in this book because there was a lot of French spoken in this book because French is what's spoken in that part of Switzerland as well. The Geneva, Switzerland area is French. And part of this book spills over into France, too.
And did you have to go over to Lake Geneva to do your research?
Well, my wife and I had been to Lake Geneva twice.
Okay.
And the city of Geneva two times. And we had wonderful times there. It's a beautiful city. And we went out on the lake, as Archie does in this book, and took a tour around the area of Lake Geneva, or Lac Leman, as the French and Swiss call it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been there twice. That was some years ago, but I retained a lot of it. And I also did a lot of research just to make sure things hadn't changed too much.
When I was in high school, we went to Chillon.
Oh, the castle where the Lionheart was imprisoned. Yeah.
Right. I wasn't impressed. My guess is Robert Goldsboro. The book is The White Mountain. So they're in Switzerland, and anyone that thinks of Switzerland, they probably think of one thing, one product connected with Switzerland. In fact, the word Swiss is usually part of the name of this product. Is that why you decided to create your criminal conspiracy around this particular extremely well-known product?
You mean the Swiss watches?
Yes.
that is the reason. That, I mean, there are other things that the Swiss are famous for, like chocolates and Swiss Army knives. But there's no question the watches and clocks of Switzerland are world renowned, and I avoided, as Rex Stout usually did too. I avoided trade names. I just talked about the famous watch companies. You could put in a word like Philippe Patek or Rolex, but they don't appear in the book.
Okay. There's a lot of food involved in these stories every time, and we do have a lot of gustatory delight awaiting us just following this guy around. Also, he likes his beer.
Yes, he does. You would think with his very sensitive taste buds, that beer would not necessarily be his libation of choice, but it is, and that's what makes him interesting. Now, he does also drink wine, and that comes up in the book, as it does in other Nero Wolfe books by Mr. Stout. But yeah, he is a real beer drinker.
There's also, isn't there like a rare brandy? No, I'm guessing this is something that probably came out of a previous book.
Yes, and I used it again in this book. I don't even know if it's a real brandy or if Rex Stout had created that, but it comes up again in this book. Nero Wolfe, he has most of the world's supply of this particular cognac. I think it's Remesier, R-E-M-E-S-I-E-R, Remesier. And he brings a bottle of it to Switzerland to present to one of the people there who is a great help to him and Archie Goodwin.
I don't think it's a spoiler to tell our listeners why they go to Switzerland, what they're looking for.
The in-house chef of Nero Wolfe, Fritz Brenner, is by birth a Swiss, although he's an American citizen. He has family in Geneva, and a cousin of his goes missing, and this is a cousin he's very close to, and he seemingly disappears, and there's no sign of him. So Fritz requests permission to go to Geneva to look for his cousin, and that is granted by Nero Wolfe very quickly, because he realizes that Fritz is in a very shaky mental state. So Initially, it's just going to be Fritz that goes to Switzerland, but then he disappears. So Archie Goodwin says, well, I'll go to Switzerland. And to Archie's surprise, Wolf says, you will not go alone. I'm going too. So, and this is set in the mid-20th century, so this is the propeller plane era, not the jet era. So the flights are long and make stops, and it's bad enough for Nero Wolfe to even have to leave the brownstone, but to have to squeeze himself into even a first-class seat on an airplane is a challenge for him.
And poor Nero has to ride in vehicles with no straps to hold on to, being driven
right
by people he doesn't like to drive. And
yeah, he only likes to drive ride if Archie Goodwin is driving, or maybe one other member of their group, Saul Panzer, a freelance private eye. Those are the only two people that Nero Wolfe wants to ever have to steer a car that he's in.
The book is The White Mountain. It's a Nero Wolfe mystery written by Robert Goldsboro, who joins us on the telephone today on the program. And this is published by the Mysterious Press. And if you're like me, I'm sure you have your pantheon of writers and other people that you admire. I'm sure Rex Stout is in that pantheon for you. My pantheon has a lot of people in it, but one of them who's really kind of at the top is a guy named Otto Penzler. And I'm going to guess you guys have gone back a few years together.
We have, in fact, back in the mid-1980s when I first was able to get my first Nero Wolfe book published, my first signing was at Otto Penzler's Mysterious Bookshop. At that time, it was located in Midtown Manhattan. That bookshop is now down in Lower Manhattan. But I first met Otto Penzler more than 40 years ago, and he is truly the dean of New York mystery publishers.
I've had him on the show a couple of times, and I've got to tell you, these are like some of the greatest moments in my life to actually have him on the phone.
Oh, yeah. He is a legend, a justifiable legend.
And I understand that their focus with this particular line is e-books. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. E-books have become more and more popular across the publishing spectrum. No question. I mean, I still have, I'm still pleased that they put out print books, but the e-book has been the way to go more and more.
Well, I'm personally glad that the print books have fought back against the e-books.
I am too.
I mean, I read the print myself. I'm old school. It's easier on my eyes.
Yeah. And mine too, as long as the type is large enough.
Now, before we went on the air, we were chatting, and you mentioned your journalistic background. Give us your bio. Who are you? Where'd you come from? How did you end up in this particular place in your life?
Well, I grew up in the Chicago area, and I went to school in the Chicago area at Northwestern University, where I majored in journalism, and I worked briefly for a couple of local publishing offices, one of them the Chicago Bureau of the Associated Press. And then in 1960, I went to work for the Chicago Tribune, in those days was one of the biggest newspapers in the United States in circulation. And I ended up mostly working in features for them. And at one point, I was the editor of their Sunday magazine, which in those days was a fairly substantial product, pretty much the same size as the New York Times magazine is today. And I ended up working for the Tribune for a little over 20 years, and then I job jumped to Advertising Age, a trade publication, where I became the executive editor and worked for them for more than 20 years. So I didn't job jump a lot. But when I was at the Tribune, I began writing the Nero Wolfe books. And probably the smartest thing I ever did was I didn't quit my day job. And I had a growing family, kids to put through college and so on. And so I was able to juggle, in a way, two lives, the life of a family man and also the life of a man who went to an office every day and wrote mystery books in the evenings or early mornings.
That was a good move, not quitting your day job.
It was maybe the best move. Other than marrying my wife, that may be the second best move I ever made.
Okay. Did you know Stud Strickel?
No, I did not know him, but I did. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times. We wanted to do a profile of him in the Tribune Sunday magazine, and he was always wary of if people might be doing a number on him.
Uh-huh.
So I got a phone call from him, and he said, "That man you're sending to write about me, is he okay?" I said, "Yes, Studs, he's okay." He said, "Is there anything tricky going on here?" I said, "No, this is a profile of you, Studs." And in fact, that's what it was. And he needn't have been. I guess some of the profiles we did had a little bit of an edge on them. This one did not particularly. And so as far as I know, although I didn't talk to him again, I think he was fairly pleased with it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like him. What a character.
Well, he was a character.
What a voice.
Yeah. And he, my man said to him, "Studs, you have those black and white checked shirts. Are those the only shirts you ever wear?" And he said, no, I got a whole set of red and white checked ones too." And that made it into the profile.
Uh-huh. He also liked the red socks.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to know him a little bit. What a guy. Wow.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. We had martinis at his house one time, and that was an unbelievable experience.
I bet it was.
Yeah, we just picked him up at the airport, and we went there, and he says, "You coming for a drink?" And we went in there, and it was about noon. And I was like, well, I don't normally drink it this early in the day. But he says, "We'll make martinis." And he says, "I'm all out of gin. We'll have to have Stolies."
Oh, boy.
And he made the drinks.
You crossed paths with a great character.
Oh, my. Yeah, I treasure the memory. Oh, okay, so in your time out there in the world, what's the most memorable personal encounter that you've had with someone?
I was doing some television writing in my early years at the Tribune, assistant TV editor, and the TV editor said to me, "Would you like to meet Jack Benny? He's coming into town, and he's an old friend of mine." This was what our TV, television, and radio critics said. I said, "Yes, I would." So we ended up getting. He stopped at the Tribune to have his photo taken in our color studio for a feature that someone else was doing on him within the paper. And then we all hopped into a car together and drove to a luncheon where Benny was being honored to kick off the Chicago, TV and Radio Hall of Fame. So he was invited there because he's from the Chicago area. He grew up in Waukegan, which is a far northern suburb. And it was just a treat to be riding. I was in the back seat with my boss, and we had a driver, and Benny was in the front seat, arm draped over the seat and talking to us in the back seat. And hearing that voice that I grew up with as a kid on his Sunday night radio show was just incredible. And he was some of his language, but among us, was a little salty, which was, he was really something. And we pulled up in front of the Conrad Hilton Hotel on South Michigan Avenue, and he always walked fast and purposeful, and it was so funny to get out of this limo and watching him, with us trailing behind him, striding into the revolving door, and watching the doorman do a double and then a triple take on him. It was just a scream. It was something that has stayed with me all these years. So.
Wow, what a wonderful memory. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, it was so much fun, yeah.
My guest has been Robert Goldsboro. His new Nero Wolfe mystery is The White Mountain, and it's available as an ebook and as a paperback, and we really appreciate your time today, Bob. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm the one who appreciates that time. It's been good talking to you.
For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks, as always, for listening.